May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. We're continuing on with our series that is being based around the letter of 1 John. Last week we looked at the way the early church community found its own identity by learning the importance of not hiding behind those locked doors, overcoming the things that paralyze us and stepping out. Jesus cannot be locked out. He enters our space, bringing peace and purpose and power. And now we get our first glimpse of how John saw the identity of this new faith community. It was as the children of God, something John recognized as this lavish act of love. We probably hear the term so often, we may not recognize that significance, children of God, being made more and more like Jesus. And then John starts to unpack what that means. But he's not the first to unpack what it means to be the children of God. In our gospel reading we heard earlier, the disciples didn't get it. They didn't understand what the resurrection meant. And when Jesus appeared to them, they were startled, frightened. They thought they were seeing a ghost. They were troubled. Doubts arose in their minds. It felt too good to be true, too hard to comprehend. And so Jesus showed himself to them, scars and all. But that still wasn't enough, and they still didn't really understand and believe. So he sat down with them, and he ate some fish with them, and over the table Jesus unpacked the meaning of his life and his death and his resurrection. And he took them back to the scriptures, what we now know as the Old Testament, and showed them how he was the fulfillment of what was written there. And he helped them to understand. And then he told them that they were witnesses of this. Then in the book of Acts, we see the way that one of the tasks of the early church was also to unpack what the resurrection means. The people didn't understand, just like the disciples had not understood. And it needed to be explained to them. We can't assume as a church that everyone will just know what it means for the Easter events to have happened. We need to be willing to explain it, to unpack the scriptures together. Just as those first disciples needed Jesus to explain it over that meal of fish, and the early church needed the apostles to continue that unpacking. And once they understand, at least in part, the early church also becomes witnesses. They too become part of this resurrection narrative, this redemptive script that offers reconciliation and hope. And so John seeks to continue this unpacking of what it means to follow a risen Saviour, someone who died but was resurrected to a new but physical reality. This was no mere resuscitation back into an old body to be confined to this present space and time and all that would mean. Resurrection involves this homecoming into God, into the final reality and first reality. As Hans Kung would say, an entry into that which was before anything was created. To start to explain this stretches our language beyond what it can adequately do. But we still need to try, just as Jesus did, just as those first apostles did, and just as John did. For John, one of the first things he wanted to say about this new identity we then have is that we are now to be called children of God. And when John tries to explain the resurrection, he owns the reality of our limited understanding. He says, we know we are children of God, but we don't really know what we shall become. We know we shall be like Jesus, recognizable and physical, but we don't know what it will actually look like. None of us have all the answers. Let's not pretend that we do, but let's be willing to unpack what we do know, to be witnesses to the truth that we know. Amidst all the questions we may continue to have, when we struggle to comprehend the wonder of this amazing love, we remain witnesses to what we do know. As John said, we are God's children right now. What we shall finally become is not yet clear. But we know that when the Son of God appears, we shall be like him, as we look on him as he really is. There are many things that remain unclear, that we cannot comprehend, but that doesn't cancel out the ability to know that we are beloved children of God. And as Christ goes ahead of us, we keep playing catch-up, discovering more of what it actually means to be children of God. John is unpacking what it means to be the church in the community that he was part of. So now I want to get a bit academic and delve into what the scholars have determined in terms of John's letters, so we can grasp more of what these letters were actually addressing. While the Gospel of John was written in Ephesus, that was written for the whole Christian community, the wider church, spread across the known world. It wasn't addressed to a confined community. The letters of John, though, also written in Ephesus, are focused on a particular community. They tell us something of the community John was the leader of, known commonly as the Johannine community. Now, if you want to do the scholarly study of John's letters, you'll discover that 1 John may well be written by someone other than John, and John then wrote the 2nd and 3rd letters, which includes the author referring to himself as the elder, whereas in 1 John the author doesn't identify himself. However, the reality is that if that's so, the other author was someone from that same community of faith, facing the same issues and working closely alongside John. So let's get a glimpse of the early church in Ephesus. It seems there were a number of house churches throughout the local area. It seems likely that around 66 to 70 CE, at the time of the Jewish War, John would have left Palestine and gone to Ephesus, perhaps with a group of Christians, and together they met up with Christians already in Ephesus and some new converts as they grew. And it seems likely that this new community was in existence from at least 70 CE. And it was a distinct and separate community from the Pauline community, also in Ephesus. So these two communities would have known of each other and worked alongside one another, but they were different. And these letters would probably have been written about 80-90 CE. So what do we know about the community at that time? It seems there had been some recent troubles. A group, including probably some of the leaders of that church, who became known as successionists, had left the fellowship due to a different Christology. They denied the humanity of Jesus, a heresy that became known as Docetism. Or at least they viewed the humanity of Jesus as insignificant for salvation. They were called successionists simply because they were a people wanting their group to become separate from the larger group that they had belonged to. And leaving the Johannine community, they had then created their own new group, and they had gained some success in their evangelism efforts. And all that had left the remaining community feeling quite destabilised. So some scholars have argued that John's letter is primarily a direct response to this dissenting group. But it's more likely that it was written in part to answer that Christology, but also to assure the remaining people in that Johannine church in Ephesus of the reality of their salvation. The later letters for John were also written to warn those other outlying house churches about these people who may be heading their way and the impact they could have on them. So given all of that, this first letter of John is reassuring the church that through Jesus, fully human and fully divine, we become the children of God. It's a reassurance amidst a fragile community that's looking sideways at what others are doing. And it's affirming the importance of the physicality of Jesus and the difference that that makes to our faith. We share the humanity of Jesus, and so we can ultimately also share the divinity of Jesus. So if we're feeling fragile in our faith, the letter of John reassures us, reminding us that we are children of God. That is how much we are loved. We don't need to look sideways. What we do need to do is to behave accordingly. As we live in Christ, John is clear, we can no longer sin. It's not that we become perfect, but we work at no longer sinning. John is making it clear, the resurrection makes a huge difference. We now are children of God, and we are to live accordingly. Over the next few weeks, we're going to unpack more of what that means.
For now, it's enough. You, we are the children of God. So let's live out of that reality and be witnesses to what we know. Amen.